welcome to Pagan Paradise podcast number 228 on November 5th, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you would like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and instead offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider. Or you can click the Become a Donor button on my website. Another way to support my work is through EnticeMe.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, and non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Just go to EnticeMe.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER. That's RYDER. If you'd like some assistance figuring out exactly which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You will be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. All right, everybody, let's do a patron update.
Yes.
Stuart is a new patron for $5 a month. Stuart, thank you so much. I appreciate your generosity and your support. And then let's do the last report on Movember. Movember was a kick in the pants, literally for me. So Lance donated $50. Lance, thank you so much for that donation toward Movember. I really appreciate it. Let's see, the rest of the statistics are, I did attain 80 miles. In fact, I did a total of 82.62 miles. I raised $435. And my last day at the gym, I had not gone to the gym for 2 days. So I had to do 6 miles at the gym, you guys. It took me exactly 1 hour, 3 minutes, and 32 seconds. Thank you to all of you who participated and contributed to that wonderful organization and the work that they do. And then a follow-up, I've actually continued going to the gym since. I'm no longer taking a screenshot of the elliptical screen when I'm done because, you know, I don't have to do that. But last night I had a friend who joined me. She texts me and I have like 30 minutes to get to the gym to work out with her because she joined the same gym that I'm at. So when she leaves work, it's half an hour from where she is to get to the gym on her way home. So that gives me 10 minutes to get dressed and then 20 minutes to get there. Because for me, it's actually a 20-minute drive to get to the gym. So that's an extra person to support me to continue working out. Because I think, as I've already stated, I've realized that working out at this age is really not optional if you want to feel your best. Let's see what else is happening. I did actually, this is related to the exercise a little bit, because I did shop a little bit with the after Thanksgiving sales, but here's the tricky part. I allowed myself only to buy new exercise clothes. So it was kind of cool because now I feel good going to the gym. So that's one more shove in the direction of keep going to the gym, right? And I look all cool going to the gym and I can get rid of the clothes that are actually a little big for me now. Woohoo! Yes. Life is good. Exercise is great. So I hope you're all doing fantastic and had a good holiday weekend if you celebrate that holiday. Let's check in on the news a little bit. I suppose one of the big things that's up for everybody is that Tumblr is going to take down all the X-rated stuff. Okay, as far as Pegging Paradise is concerned, I am not concerned about that because when you post pictures up on a blog, there's two different ways to do it. Well, there's a bunch of different ways to do it, but mainly you can either link to that picture and it'll appear on your blog, sourcing the picture from their website, or you can just copy the picture and download it and then put it up. I have chose the latter example So what that means is that I don't have to worry that all of a sudden a whole bunch of pictures are going to disappear off of my website. And for that, I'm grateful for that forethought that I didn't realize I would need. And at the same time, everybody's kind of freaked out that Tumblr's going away. Well, honestly, I source most of my curated pictures off of Tumblr, and I do absolutely have quite a number of my favorite Tumblrs to get those photos from. But at the same time, just on a practical level and a realistic level, I'm not at all surprised that they're taking Tumblr down. After the passage of the Sesta-Fosta law, all these different places are taking things down. The censorship hammer is coming down pretty hard, and I think we are still suffering from a fair amount of the censorship, and it's going to be a little bit before the pendulum swings the other way. So yeah, I'm not really at all surprised that they're taking it down. It's a shame, because people have curated all kinds of things on that site and have these amazing collections of whatever it is they're passionate about. And yes, it was a lovely source for X-rated pictures. It was really, really awesome. But yeah, you know, it's coming down. Let's see, what did they announce? Starting December 17th, 2018, we will begin enforcing this new policy. Today we're taking another step by no longer allowing adult content, including explicit sexual content and nudity, parentheses, with some exceptions. You know, I happened upon an article written by Violet Blue, who I just completely have so much respect for and admiration for. She wrote a piece for Engadget about Sesta-Fosta, and basically she said, you know, it removes the protection for websites under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act and makes sites and services liable for hosting what it very, very loosely defines as sex trafficking and prostitution content. So Sesta-Fosta puts into law that sex work and sex trafficking are the same thing and makes discussion and advertising part of the crime. And to remind people and maybe inform the people that really weren't paying attention or have just started listening to this podcast, the Sesta-Fosta was dubbed the anti-trafficking bill for the internet, but really it's an anti-sex sledgehammer because the bill removes protection for websites, and that's under that Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. And basically, the blurry interpretation of sex and commerce, as well as the bill's illogical, incorrect conflation of sex trafficking and sex work, is just straight out of a bad movie. So I'm going to link to this article written by Violet Blue. It's genius. It is so informative, and it gives you all kinds of clarity about why Sesta-Fosta was a really bad idea. I hold a lot of faith that eventually that decision is going to get reversed, if for no other reason than it has done none of what it said it was going to do. It has not helped sex trafficked victims, and it has not helped to prosecute sex traffickers. It has done nothing but censor the internet, cause a whole bunch of sites to go down that were sexually related in any way, shape, or form, even, as most of you know by now, Craigslist personals, just because they didn't want liability. So anyway, it's caused those to go down, and it's actually really, really harmed sex workers quite a bit, taken away their ability to vet clients and force them out to the streets, the more marginalized ones. It's been really, really, really bad. And there's even articles talking about how the police can't find the trafficking victims anymore. Before, they had IPs to trace. And they also, it's harder to prosecute the traffickers when they do find them. So yes, it has done none of what it said it was going to do. Hopefully, when this government gets turned around a little bit, ideally sooner rather than later, they will reverse that and we will have the internet back and things will be much better for the sex trafficking victims because they will be able to track them down and find them and help them. So yes, Tumblr is going bye-bye. Tumblr, rest in peace. I have a lot of sympathy for those of you out there who have spent a lot of time curating a Tumblr page. I actually never did that. I just went there to curate my pictures. And once again, I consider myself fortunate, but I do feel badly for those of you who have spent a lot of time doing a lot of Tumblr work, because it's a drag when you spend a lot of time doing a lot of work and then all of a sudden it's freaking gone. There you go. Okay, let's move on to your letters. Ruby, I've sent you another donation in hopes you might be willing to respond rather soon to my email if you're available to. The reason for my quick request is my partner and I are about ready to confirm and pay for a procedure out of state for my reverse vasectomy. Our intention is for me to father my partner's child, and your answer might help us to decide if this is more or less feasible. So, I've been a fan of your podcasts for a few years. Most importantly, I've grown to accept and even love this kinky, delicious part of myself. Yep, I love to be pegged by my lover, passionately and lovingly. To be able to be proud of this and to write you is indeed praise to you for your efforts. Thank you for helping to normalize a beautiful, spicy addition to sex play. Here's the issue which causes me to write today. I'm 58 years old, rather healthy, eat well, work out 3 times a week. My semen production has diminished over the years, so that now, when I come, sometimes it takes a few minutes for a bit to dribble out. Sometimes none comes out at all. I'm concerned that trying to father a child will be less likely if there is little or no seminal fluid, of course. So, is it true that prostate play will perhaps milk the prostate? Will that massaging help it to produce more seminal fluid? Is there any natural supplements that you know of to increase one's ejaculate? I know this is a bit off topic of pegging, and yet I hope you will be able to help. Warm regards and gratitude for you and your amazing service, Dave. So I wrote Dave back and said, Dave, I do have a bunch of information for you. First of all, how exciting for you both. I'm definitely thrilled for you. The best source of information I've found about increasing the volume of your ejaculate is here. And then I gave him a link to, it's actually a site called WikiHow, which is a site that tells you how to do all kinds of things. It answers a whole bunch of questions. And it is clearly related to Wikipedia. And this is specifically increase your ejaculate. So it's WikiHow, increase your ejaculate. And then I found this too. There's overlapping information, but it's excellent. And this is a WikiHow increase sperm volume, which both would be very important because sperm volume is not necessarily total ejaculate volume. So anyway, I go on to say, it covers everything from drinking enough water and how much to not wearing tight underwear or spending time in a hot tub to ejaculating every third day and letting it build up in between. There's a lot of good information there, including supplements, exercises, etc. So, how does prostate stimulation affect it? Basically, when you get turned on, your prostate starts making prostatic fluid in preparation for ejaculation. Prostatic fluid combines with a few other fluids to make up your ejaculate. So edging and prostate massage on the days you are not going to orgasm should help build volume. Kind of train your body to make a bunch of fluid because you habitually ejaculate every 3 days. The prostate massage part can be done by pegging, her fingers, or a handheld toy. The important part is no ejaculation. One reason there is usually more ejaculate when prostate stimulation is part of the orgasm is because the orgasm is stronger, so basically more comes out. And that's pretty much it. So, take the advice of the WikiHow to the best of your ability and do the edging and prostate massage in between orgasming every third day. Those would be my suggestions. Thanks for the donation. It was much appreciated. And then he wrote back, I'm moved because of your quick reply and your caring attitude. Okay, this is way deep. I'm writing because a big part of my life has shifted on its axis last night. Feel free to read it on your podcast or not. I'm not attached either way and simply grateful for your help. Please allow me to explain, and at the risk of this being long, I think that if I know you at all from being a faithful listener to your podcast for some time, you may find some personal satisfaction knowing that your work has helped change my life, not only sexually, but much more. I will be completely vulnerable here, and perhaps exactly what will allow me to continue to let go of years of shame around my sexual desires and help me to step deeper, if that's even possible, into my relationship with my partner, Robin. I'm sharing my story here not for the sake of titillation, but to use this beautiful venue and your loving heart to share, and to let you see that you have helped me to feel empowered to change my sexual life in a positive way, and simply changing the old story I've run my whole life. This is closure on that old story. The old story was, I'm a bi man and have to hide, repress, and deny my bi side in order to have a woman who will accept my bi side, let alone embrace and celebrate that I'm bi. The old story was that most women don't like pegging either. I may as well forget that. That it was hopeless to find a woman who loved me deeply enough to find pegging either sexy or even appealing, and crazy to expect I'd ever had the balls to ask for my 100% of what I want sexually. That's the old story. Well, as of today, that old story is officially gone. This morning I woke to realize it. Here goes. I read your reply to my email where I asked you about ways to increase my ejaculate, and I shared my email and your response with Robin, my partner, last night. My relationship with Robin is becoming deeper and more fulfilling as we both get clear and honest about what we both want. She's 43 and I'm 58. She deeply wants a child, and I want to give her this gift and be the father. At our ages, there are complications with our bodies. She has uterine fibroids which have caused her concerns for years, and the fact that I had a vasectomy almost 30 years ago. Oh, and the biggie was the reason I wrote to you a few days ago, the fact that as I've gotten older, the amount of my ejaculate has diminished. Sometimes when I come, nothing comes out, and if anything does come out, it's often minutes later. How could I father a child without much cum, even if I did say yes to her? As our relationship deepens, I've let go of my fear to father her child. I said yes to her, and have actually grown in this process, and feel it is bringing us closer together. I've booked surgery next month for a vasectomy reversal. So, that's all backstory as to why I wrote to you, asking about ways to increase my ejaculate, to increase the chances that the surgery would be successful, and ultimately my giving her the best gift I could ever give her, our child. Last night happened to be a pivotal night for us, resolving discussions about many areas of our relationship. During this deeply honest and vulnerable conversation, I was presented with yet another biggie from Robin. She wants to create a polyamorous situation with an old love, a female-identified trans man. I'm grateful she and I have the capacity to be so grounded, even during so many big life-changing pieces. Perhaps you can see what has led to my writing. I'm grateful for your quick reply. I've decided to support Robin and embrace her love and her desire to be polyamorous with Caitlin, her old love. I'm open to ways to bring Caitlin into our relationship in a deeper way, to celebrate what a loving triad might look like. Perhaps this could work. What would it look like to actually welcome Caitlin into our life together? Perhaps this would allow me to step even deeper into my bi-self in a loving way that might serve our container. What's this got to do with pegging? Laugh out loud. This past week, I've told her of my desire to be pegged once in a while. She had initially found it a turnoff when she pegged me years ago when we dated. Because of her negative experience, she had previously told me ass play was off the table months ago. I reluctantly and sadly said, okay, respecting her no. It wasn't worth losing this amazing woman. I can finally say, Ruby, that Robin is the first love of my life. We have a deep soul connection, whether I get pegged or not, and I trusted that I would probably get what I desired somehow, even if I got her blessing to take care of my pegging needs by myself. And I followed your advice to take care of my side of the street, as you've always said. Well, I feel I have been taking care of my side of the street. I've shown up big time for her and for us. Authentic, with integrity, open-hearted, grounded, and vulnerable, and willing to be a yes whenever possible for what she dreams about. Last night, as we had one of our amazing connecting discussions, she fondled me with reverence, with a new lust in her eyes I've never seen. I told her all about your answer to me, about my question about the volume of my ejaculate. I told her about how massaging my prostate might help generate more ejaculate, which might help our chances of conception. I felt myself getting more confident, knowing that if she did decide to peg me, she would know it would help to father her child. And also knowing that if she didn't decide to peg me, I would simply massage my own prostate, and that perhaps she and I could then create fantasies about pegging or other sexy times together. Maybe her simulating pegging me by pushing her pubic bone into my ass. The possibilities are endless, even with nothing in my ass. Maybe this risk I took to be real might have opened so many more doors than I thought. So, what's most important, Ruby, is embracing my fears with her and sharing my desire for pegging has opened up so much more. here than I'd ever thought. I have almost eliminated my old shame about my desire for pegging. I've got the possibility and amazing excitement to explore how being a bi man could enhance our relationship, including embracing the inclusion of Caitlin if that emerges. I mean, what if, by sharing my fears, being vulnerable, and asking for my 100%, I might get it? A loving partner and a sex life where we both get our 100%. I'm shaking thinking of the possibility of the type of loving, sexy, erotic, different, passionate sex. Holy shit. I don't know if Robin will peg me. And what's best of all, Ruby? What's more important is my amazing relationship with her is deepening. And this opening probably removes any doubt for either of us of our love and commitment to each other in a deeper, even more soulful way. Thank you for your beautiful heart to help others and for helping Robin and me. Warm regards, Dave. Dave, wow. Thank you so much for sharing all that, and I'm really, really happy for you on a number of levels. I have to say that when you first wrote me, I had no idea that pegging was not a part of your life yet. I suppose I just kind of assumed, because you didn't really say that it was something that you guys didn't do, and that she had reacted that she didn't really care for it in the past. So I just kind of assumed, well, yeah, of course they do this pegging thing. Of course they do. And so it was a big surprise when you wrote your second letter to find out that that was the case. And really exciting to think that because of the whole intention to increase the amount of your ejaculate, it might open her up to more play with ass stuff and be okay with it. And all of the different things that you two are opening to, this is just one of those lovely examples and kind of this magical thing. It makes me kind of get goosebumps. What happens when you really start communicating on just the deepest level where you're totally authentic and you're honest and you ask for what you want, not with expectations, but to be transparent and open and let your partner know all of you? Your story about all of this shows the possibilities of what can happen. It doesn't happen in every relationship because every relationship is different. But the importance of actually being transparent and authentic cannot be overstated. And where did I get this? I've been talking about it for a number of podcasts. Authenticity is so freaking sexy. Oh my God, there's nothing more sexy than authenticity. Because that way you don't have to do any guessing games. You don't have to navigate between those parts of your partner where you can sense they're holding back something. And you can see the pause and you can see them decide not to say something. You know, they're there and they're completely authentic. And that is just such a gift to your partner. So I wish you and Robin the very, very best with all of the exciting things happening. And of course, I do want to hear how everything goes. Absolutely. One of the things I found fascinating when I was doing a bit of research about how to increase ejaculate is actually doing Kegel exercises. And for those who don't know, Kegel exercises are not only for women, they're also for men as well. And they can do wonderful things for the strength of your erections as well as the strength of your ejaculation. And I'm going to put a link to the thing called Private Gym, which this doctor developed, and it's a pretty amazing sort of weightlifting program with all the cool things attached to your cock that enable you to do the Kegel exercises in a very easy way. And this gets rave reviews, so yes, to exercise the Kegel muscles. But that is an important part of optimal sexual functioning as well as the strength of your ejaculations. And that is one of the suggestions in the WikiHow links that I put down for you. So for everyone listening, those links are going to be in the Linkorama as well as the Private Gym, which is, and it really is, weightlifting with your dick. It really is. I've talked about it before on the podcast and it gets rave reviews. It totally does. So again, thank you for sharing that story with us, Dave, and I totally wish you the best. And as always, I am honored that if anything that I put out there in the world has helped you on your journey, I am totally honored to have done so and to have been a part of your awakening with this wonderful relationship you have with Robin. Okay, here's my next letter. Hey, everybody, it's pegging celebration time. I'm a 56-year-old man who has had a pegging fantasy since I was a teenager. I first saw it in a porn video I found in my parents' room. After finding it, I began to experiment with several different objects around the house. I was married for 30 years to a somewhat prudish woman who saw any kind of anal play as taboo. However, once after I had accidentally, quote unquote, slipped in her back door during sex, she decided to punish me by doing the same thing to me using her vibrator. It was a glorious experience for me, but pissed her off because I enjoyed it so much it caused me to come hands-free. I'm now divorced and in a new relationship. I'm proud to say that last weekend we bought our first strap-on, and I received my first proper pegging. And there is a big smiley face with teeth showing a big grin, right? And he signs it Ken. So Ken, really happy for you receiving your first proper pegging. Have to totally congratulate you and your partner. So the first comment I have is the quote, accidentally, end quote, slipped in her back door during sex. I just want to emphasize, you know, not to take away from your celebratory moment, but I just want to emphasize how wrong that is. There is no if, ands, or buts, no pun intended there, about how wrong that is. Here are all the reasons it's wrong. When you slip into someone's back door, you are not allowing that person to have any kind of opening of their ass, no foreplay, no getting used to it. You are basically shoving something in there and acting like it's an accident, and there is no way it's going to be anything but a fucked up experience for the vast majority of people, no matter the gender, because you're pushing something into a space that's not relaxed and ready to receive it. Can you hear it in my voice? Ooh, yes, this is not a cool thing to do. So I can understand, no matter how prudish your wife was, how pissed off she was about it, and how she kind of wanted to pay you back. It's a little bit funny how it backfired on her because you were used to anal play. You were used to playing with stuff and putting things up your ass. So it was okay with you because your ass was used to accepting things in it. Hers probably wasn't. I would imagine that she was sore for a number of days. I'm just guessing here. But anyway, for all of you people listening out there, I really want to emphasize that the accidental, whoops, I'm up your ass now, is fucked up and not okay. Please don't ever do that. Ever, 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 ever. I get that sometimes it does happen by accident, and it's truly an accident, and you didn't plan it, and the angle changes, and boom, all of a sudden you're there. And most of the time those go equally as badly, so I'm not saying it's intentional in every single case when it happens, but because you put it in quotes, clearly this was something you intended to do, so that's fucked up. But casting that all aside, I am really, really glad that now you are more in a space where you want to be, with a lovely new relationship, divorced from the prudish woman, and enjoying pegging in a proper manner, which I'm assuming includes foreplay. Congratulations to you, Ken, and thanks for writing in your story. I was happy to play the music for you. Okay, here is my next letter. Hello, Ruby. I love reading your website, and I can't wait to start hearing your podcast. But as far as this subject goes, me and my wife have a great marriage. We both get along. I do not like being told what to do. I'm a very happy person and hate being around controlling people. But I've always dreamed about being in the bedroom with somebody like yourself, someone that is very dominant and tells me what to do sexually. I'm a straight male. I've never been with a man, but I think I would really enjoy it if I had a dominant woman bring a man over and make me have sex with him. I don't think that would ever happen with my wife, but how could I make her dominant in the bedroom when she knows I don't like dealing with controlling people? They get on my nerves really bad, especially because of the work that I do. Well, the easy answer here is that you just communicate with her and you explain it. The thing is that it's not at all unusual to have different preferences in daily life than you do in the bedroom. For example, there are men out there who have to be in control all day long. Maybe they run companies, they have employees that they manage, and they have to be in control and make sure things happen right and run that company, and they're in control all day long. And then they come home and they fantasize about being in the bedroom and giving up that control. Maybe because it just gets exhausting to be in control all the time. And so when they get in the bedroom, they really have this vision of, oh, now I would love to be able to just give it up and receive and not have to run the show here. So that's one example where it can be very different between regular life, walking around, doing your work and stuff like that, and then in the bedroom. So everybody has their own way of being in the bedroom that they enjoy, and sometimes many different ways. And so you have this fantasy of wanting her to dominate you. So while I said that communication is the easy answer, it is also important to sit with that and figure out what you're going to say before you talk with her. Because, okay, you want her to dominate you in the bedroom. Start with that. Don't start with, I'd really like to have sex with another guy, and if you were there sort of making me do it and guiding me, I think it would be cool. You know, start with the less intense stuff and see how she does with that. But my point would be, start with telling her how you envision that. Start with telling her about that you have this fantasy of being dominated in the bedroom. The word domination can mean many different things to different people. So it's important to communicate with her what it means to you, to give her the best opportunity to decide how she wants to satisfy that or if she wants to satisfy that. Point being, you can't just throw out the word dominant and expect her to know what to do, expect her to know what you've been fantasizing about. When you have this conversation with her, and please don't do it in the bedroom after sex or anything like that, do it away from the bedroom because it's sort of less threatening that way. It takes the charge off of it. You want to get really, really specific with her about things that you fantasized about. And I don't know, maybe you have gotten ideas about this from watching porn or something like that, and you can tell her, you know, I saw this amazing porn clip where this woman was doing this and saying this, and she made him do that, and, you know, whatever. And it was really, really hot, and I would love to try something like that with you. Or you can simply say, you know, I've thought a lot about, you know, exploring some new territory in the bedroom, and I think I would like to not be in control in the bedroom, and I would enjoy having you run the show because, you know, don't get me wrong, I love sex. I've really enjoyed running the show in the bedroom, but I think I'd like to switch it up a little bit. And isn't it funny how that's not how I am in life? Because you know how much I hate controlling people and how they piss me off and how much I dislike people like that because of my job. Well, isn't it funny how in the bedroom, I think I would like this. In fact, I've kind of been fantasizing about it, and I would love to explore it with you. So there's a sample script. I don't know if it would work for you. I don't know if it would work for your situation. But just because in regular life, you really, really dislike controlling people, and you have an issue with them, and you react to them, that doesn't necessarily at all apply to your sexual life. Those two things can be completely different. So if you acknowledge that verbally with her, even like I said in my sample script, as a sort of a, wow, isn't this interesting? Because I know you know how much I really hate controlling people. But you know what? I think it would be so hot for you to kind of be controlling me in bed. And okay, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean, I fantasize sometimes about having you tie me up and like do pegging with me and tell me what to do, like give me instructions about going down on you and just you run the show and you kind of dominate me. I think that would be really, really hot. So yeah, there's another little sample script for you. And perhaps between the two of those little sample scripts, you can find something that will work for you. But the whole point is, you just need to be transparent and authentic with her and communicate with her about this. And I can tell just in the short message that you sent me that there's some fear there, you're concerned, she might not understand. It is very, very normal to be concerned when you have a relationship and you have a whole bunch invested in this relationship to take a step that you fear they are going to reject you for. But if you present this with excitement, with authenticity, with transparency, and emphasize that she is the one you want to do this with, that every time you see a little porn clip where a woman's dominating a man, you fantasize about her doing this, and the thought of this totally turns you on. And you would love to talk about it more, try it, explore it. You don't really say whether she tends to be submissive most of the time or not. So please know that when you do talk with her about this, there's a possibility that she may say, well, I don't know what the hell to do. I don't know how to be dominant. I don't know what, you know, you mean. I'm not used to playing that role where I control things. So, you know, she might feel kind of lost. This would be the reason that it's important to get as specific as possible about how you envision things when you tell her about this, because otherwise you're going to throw out the word dominant and she's going to go, well, great, I don't know what that means and I'm kind of lost here. I've encountered a lot of women where their partners throw out, I really want you to be more dominant, and they don't explain themselves. And that's just setting yourself up for failure. Now, do not insist on every single detail being exactly right. In other words, yeah, you want to give her as much detail as possible about what you fantasize about, but then she needs to, in some way, shape, or form, just sort of grab it and run with it, and don't be insistent that every single detail is exactly the way you fantasize it. Don't be rigid about that. Let her run with it and grow into her own dominance, which hopefully she will be excited to do once you tell her about all this. But I wish you the very best of luck, and I hope you get the dominant experience in the bedroom that you so desire. And once you get to that point and things start opening up between the two of you, then you can potentially explore the other things. That's a touchy subject about bringing a third person into the bedroom, but that doesn't mean you can't do it. And as always, first of all, you need to have good communication around sex, so make sure that that part is taken care of first. What do I mean by that? I mean that you two need to be able to talk about sex. You need to be able to discuss things during. You need to be able to explore things together verbally about sexual topics, about your activities in the bedroom. Because if you can't do that, you need to work on that first before you tell her that you fantasize about this whole dominance thing. You need to improve your communication about sexual things. If you already do talk about sexual things, awesome. And keep your side of the street clean. Be the best husband you can be. Be helpful. Be considerate. Be aware of when she's stressed. Be the best husband you can be. Because then when you approach her with a suggestion to try something new, she will be quite motivated to keep you happy as well. Okay, sir. Best of luck to you. Thanks for the letter. Here is my next letter. I recently started listening to your podcast and catching up by reading your blog, which is saved as a favorite, and oh my goodness, you have changed my life. I have always been interested in pegging. It is how I have always gotten off while masturbating since I was a young girl. But my partners were never even open-minded enough. I'm learning to choose better partners. Listening to your podcast has not only enlightened me, but has brought it home that so many men could be having wonderful sex if they could feel free enough to be honest with the people in their lives without fear of reprisal or shame. I love how adamant you are about educating your readers and listeners about toxic toys. I've never pegged anyone, but I am working on trying to find a partner in what can have the possibility of becoming a long-term relationship. I just wanted to be able to say hello and let you know there are not enough words to say what an awesome service you are doing in getting the word out on pegging and helping to destigmatize it. Know that you're making a difference on both sides, the pegger and the peggy. P.S. I am still in the 60s of your podcasts, and oh my goodness, listening to the audio of the listeners who record themselves coming. When I am at work, I put both headphones in, as that is one of the most wonderful sounds to my ears. Thank you again and wish me luck. So I wrote to this woman and said, can I read this on the podcast? Part of the reason I wanted to read it to all of you listeners is it is more rare to run across a woman who fantasizes about this for a long time before actually being able to try it. Most of the time, the way it works is the man is totally into it, maybe has discovered that he gets pleasure from anal stimulation and prostate stimulation, and then brings it to his partner. But occasionally there's people like me and this woman who, for whatever reason, fantasize about it from the word go, and really it's the main thing of their sexual fantasies. And I just thought that was awesome because there aren't very many of us around. And I know exactly how this woman feels because we sound very similar. So I wrote her and asked her if I could read it on the podcast, and she responded and said this: yes, please feel free to read my email on your podcast. The pleasure is all mine. I have had the pegging bug for so long, and thanks to your podcast, I feel free to bring it up to a male prospect, especially if and when his profile shows that he is unabashedly into it. I'm also lucky to be a member of the kink community, where people are more open-minded, and the whole point is to find people who share the same fetish, and they can then meld together. I will be turning 39 in February, and I remember you saying on one of your podcasts that life begins at 40, and you told of your own journey when you decided to start living for yourself, and it was inspiring. Just another golden nugget from your podcast to live our best lives while dancing in the rain. I've gotten my ticket and set my calendar, wouldn't miss it for the world. That last part is that she's going to attend the January 6th webinar. So I wanted to let you know, the woman who wrote this, that you said on one of my podcasts, I state that life begins at 40. Well, that's not actually quite how it happened with me, because I fantasized about it from the word go. Many of you know my story. I ran across a cheesy penthouse letter that involved pegging when I was, I'm guessing 16. And that was sort of crossing the Rubicon. That was the epiphany for me, and I never stopped fantasizing about it. And now this is my life, right? But I did not start exploring it with openness and authenticity and passion until I turned 50. So I am quite proud of you, author of this letter, for chopping 10 plus years off my record, because I was 50 when I divorced the second husband and decided I was going to jump into pegging with both feet. That is how Pegging Paradise was born. That is how Ruby Rider was born. So here I am, immersed in what I so passionately love. But I always encourage everyone who listens to my podcast or reads my blog or both, embrace these things earlier rather than later. Do not do what I did and wait decades and decades before you jump in with both feet, because that's what I wish I had done. I wish I had started exploring this when I was in my 30s. Goodness sakes, I would have chopped 20 years off my record. So I'm thrilled when anybody reaches that point that I did at an earlier time. I'm like, yes, you're doing it better than I did. And I really want to encourage people to embrace your kinks. And when you're out there dating, I love how you say that you unabashedly just bring it up. That's the best way to do it. Because if that's something that's going to scare off a potential partner, then that is not the partner for you. You do want to scare them off. And it's not like you lean in and all creepy say, I'd really like to fuck your ass with a strap on. I mean, you know, don't envision that, people, when you envision scaring people off. It's more of a maybe second date before the sex. Say, well, so there's some things that I'm really into and kinky things, and I'd love to talk with you about those. And one of them is that I'd love to explore pegging, and I haven't done it yet, but it's something that really, really interests me. And so I just want to let you know about these things. There's no hurry, anything like that, but just want to let you know kind of where I am and what I'm into. And I totally get how in the kink community, these things are much, much more accepted. There's so many different kinks that the kink community can be a much, much more accepting community to be a part of and be transparent and authentic in than a regular community. We're used to having people around who are into a huge variety of things, so the level of acceptance is actually quite high. And I've come to believe that even if pegging is your only kink and you're not into any of the BDSM stuff or anything like that, there is still absolutely a place for you in the kink community. There really is. So I would encourage all of you out there to consider that. And you've heard me talk about FetLife, F-E-T-L-I-F-E, FetLife.com. That is a place where you can connect up with your kink community. It does not operate like a dating site. So if you expect to be able to go on there and say, hey, I'm looking for a woman between 20 and 40 in Atlanta, Georgia, and I want her to be into pegging. Yeah, that is not how this website works. It's more about connecting up with your community locally. And it is also a place where you can connect up with other people who like what you like and talk about these things. It's community networking and also local community connections that this website excels at. Have I found dates on this website? Absolutely, but it does not have the search engine you would hope that it does. And this is a good thing because then it keeps like the meat market factor down. So anyway, I am so glad that you are going to be attending my webinar on the 6th. Thank you so much for writing in. And I want to hear about it when you do your first pegging, of course. I can't wait to play the music for you. Here's my next letter. This is an update from the couple in podcast number 207 that were talking about trying to include dirty talk in their sexy times. And they were inspired by a video. So here you go. We've listened to podcast number 207 a couple of times and watched a few more pegging videos. Practicing dirty talk has really ramped things up. Wowzers. We're a switch couple, but I'm mostly submissive. She's been practicing using different names for me or humiliating things to say while I'm being fucked. Some of them work and some don't, but oh boy, it's fun to experiment. We find ourselves laughing during sex sometimes because one of us will blurt out some raunchy shit, which sounded good in my or her head, and the action comes to a screeching halt while we both burst out laughing. Not working for you? Snickering. Yeah, no. Head down, ass up, boy. Let's get back to fucking. Now, who's your mama? It's funny because you, parentheses Ruby, mentioned a Hispanic or Latino man calling you mama once, and I think your response was, I'm not your fucking mama. Laugh out loud. I call my wife mama, and she laughs hysterically. Loves it. Quote, that's right, boy. Who's your mama? Who fucks you silly and treats you like a king? Who? I think the reason this one resonates so well with her is because men are always asking women to call them daddy. My wife showed me a meme once. There was a woman wearing some thigh highs and a strap-on harness. She was packing a rather large strap-on, probably 12 inches long and a solid 2.5 inches in diameter. She held a leather strap in one hand. The caption read, fuck this daddy shit. Who's your mama? For some reason, that shit makes my wife wet as the Colorado River during the spring thaw. She also loves being called ma'am, and yes, ma'am makes her super horny. If she calls me during the day from her office phone, I can say yes, ma'am on the phone, and it's a little tickle for her. But anybody recording the conversation has no clue what it means. I work from home, and she works in a secured building with no cell phones allowed in the building. If I'm cross-dressed, she calls me nothing nice. It's all degrading and humiliating stuff. Sissy, asshore, cockwhore, cross-dressing little faggot, cum swallower, and that shit turns my knobs. But only when I'm cross-dressed. We're always trying new stuff now. This thread and podcast number 207 helped both of us get over some embarrassment and really brought a whole new level to our sex life. Thank you, Ruby. And this comes from the forums. And basically, he posted this on the topic of kinky pegging clips, right? And so this is what inspired these guys to start doing the dirty talk. So yes, the kinky pegging clips. That is a reason to go to the forum for nothing else, or the sensual pegging clips, if that's something that you enjoy. Those are two topic groups in there where you can find some pretty cool stuff. I really enjoy the vision of trying something that doesn't work and being open to that, and then just kind of everything coming to a screeching halt while you laugh hysterically, and it's like, nope, that's not working for me. But how fun to experiment and find the things to say that do work. So I am celebrating for you too. I am quite happy with how things have progressed. And thank you so much for sharing all that. Okay, here's another letter. This one has a title of Fucked Hard. I'm a straight guy in a serious relationship with my girlfriend. Recently, and surprisingly, she was very interested in taking out her frustrations through pegging. I loved it. She used a wide collection of toys, one being a 10-inch by 3-inch girth strap-on. While I still enjoy the feeling I have, I'm left with a sensitive abdominal low-grade pain. Is this normal? Thank you in advance, and signed, Curious in Pennsylvania. So here's the deal. When you have a really long toy, what it does is it goes past the rectal canal and it encounters, at the end of the rectal canal, another sphincter. This sphincter is called Hirsch's sphincter, and it is the sphincter that holds back the excrement, periodically opening to let it down into the rectal canal, at which point you go, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. That's its function. At that juncture, what it does is it separates the rectal canal from your colon. So it takes a right turn right about there. When you push past that with a bigger toy, I always advise going slower and being more gentle, because you are pushing past a sphincter and there is a right turn there. So there's a number of factors that come into play here. The firmness of the toy. Whenever you have a toy that's really long, that's going to push past that sphincter, which approximately is about past 7 or 8 inches, right around there somewhere. Everybody's a little different. You want that toy to be fairly soft because of that right turn. Think about it, because otherwise, if you're pushing that toy in there and it goes past the sphincter, then you're kind of forcing a rearrangement of your internal organs just a little bit, because that right turn needs a toy with flexibility. Also, sphincters are not something to go punching through and hammering, okay? You probably have all seen porn videos which show somebody hammering into someone like that. Please know that the vast majority of these people have taken muscle relaxers and all kinds of things to be able to facilitate something like that. So your question about, is this normal to be left with a sensitive abdominal low-grade pain? I'm not a doctor. I cannot tell you. This is way above my pay grade. So what I would suggest, if that pain continues, do seek out medical consultation, because if you've messed up something in there, you really want to know. And you just have to be flat out frank and honest with your doctor about it and let them know the type of play that you do. Of course, insisting on confidentiality and all that. However, it's important, if the pain continues, that you see a doctor about it. Is it normal? Well, no, you really shouldn't have residual pain after being fucked. What I would suggest for you is, first of all, know that I'm totally down with the whole idea about her taking out her frustrations through pegging. In fact, I shared with you a post of a man whose partner did exactly that, and it was, he finally got the fucking he'd always wanted. So this is from podcast number 208, and I'm actually going to reread it to you, because he wrote back and sort of gave me a follow-up when they did it again. And the only reason I'm doing this is because of the whole concept that I consider to be really fun and hot about, you know, the giver being really having a frustrated day and taking the frustrations out on the receiver. I consider that to be just a really hot, erotic idea, especially because I know that there's a fair amount of men out there who want to be thrown around, want to be fucked hard. That certainly isn't true for all receivers. It totally is not true. But in this case, I just wanted to revisit this. So I'm going to reread what I had, and then I'm also going to read you his reply describing a follow-up encounter. So here's the first one, repeat, from podcast number 208. There have been a few times my wife and I have enjoyed mutual anal play before, and we had tried pegging before with limited success, usually abbreviated by inexperience and almost always when we'd had a few. A little satisfying, but never what either of us really wanted. Turns out we just needed to wait for her to have a bad day at work. We had mentioned a few nights ago we wanted to try again soon. I was home all day and heard from her at various times about how frustrated she was getting. I go full good husband mode and try to think what I can do when she gets home to help her de-stress. That's when the light bulb in my head flips on. Military guy here, usually a little dominant in bed. Until today. I let her walk in and see me exactly like I'd want to see her, just ready for it. I was barely ready. About 20 sweaty minutes later, we both learned a valuable lesson. I learned she can throw me around too when properly motivated. She learned what's good for the goose is good for the gander. This may be on the menu a lot more often. So here's the deal. I wrote this guy and I said, that's really hot, and what it did was it inspired an erotic story. And anytime someone inspires an erotic story and I write it, I send them a copy of it just as a thank you, right? And he was kind of blown away because he said, you know, some of the details that you fleshed out there are really eerily similar to reality. So in his response, he said, we had a follow-up encounter, and I'll write you more about that later. So here is his description about the follow-up encounter. I have not shared this yet. The day after our overwhelming success, we woke up tangled in each other's arms. We stepped out on the deck for coffee, and we had a long talk. We discussed what we liked, and we were reassured that her fucking me was an incredible experience for both of us. We talked more about it later in the day, and she brought up the fact that when I finished, it was impressive. She did raise an eyebrow when I told her I actually got very close without touching myself. Close wasn't good enough for her. We ate dinner, and she told me to shower and clean everything up. I took a shower, came out, and she was wearing the harness. She only said one sentence. Close just isn't good enough for me. She led me to the bed and laid me down. After slowly making out, she grabbed a jock strap from my drawer and put it on me. She told me, no hands. She started with me on my back, but ultimately led to her being behind me. After she let me get comfortable, she told me that for the next few minutes, I belonged to her. She went harder, faster, and eventually changed her angle. I'm not sure when, but she definitely started pressing on my spot. She lifted my hips higher off the bed, and that was it. An amazing orgasm, only from pegging. Ridiculous. As I was coming down, I rolled over to see her ripping off the harness. She crawled over me, grabbed my head, and pulled me against her. As soon as I made contact with her sex, she came incredibly hard. I told her afterwards I didn't get why she came so hard. She says it's because usually in bed, I'm quietly focused on getting her there. To see me in front of her, squirming and making noise, was almost enough on its own. Definitely a new part of our repertoire. Oh, that is beautiful and fucking hot and sexy and erotic. Holy shit. So I wanted to read you that. This guy sent me this some time ago, and it was just sort of in the back of my awareness that I eventually wanted to share this with you guys as a follow-up. It had been long enough, because we're about, 20 podcasts down the line, that I wanted to read you the initial one as well to give you some perspective. So back to the letter writer here. I am down with the idea of a hard, intense fucking. But what I would suggest when you do the hard, intense fucking is, and she's, just letting out her frustrations on you, that you choose a toy that while it can be thicker, and as long as you do adequate foreplay before she starts fucking you really hard, please choose something that perhaps isn't so long, because it's the length that is getting you into trouble here. Ideally, if you really like the thick toys, you can find something with whatever diameter is best for you, but maybe about 6 inches long max, so that she can just slam into you without hitting that inner sphincter at the end of the rectal canal. That is, I am guessing, again, not a doctor here, above my pay grade, why you are having that low-level abdominal pain. I know that we do have a toy through Entice Me called the General. It's made by Tantus, and the length of it is 7 inches, which should be adequate in terms of being able to get in there far enough to give you a good fucking, but it has like three different bumps on it. The first one starts at 1.9 inches in diameter and then it maxes out at 2.2. This is a good bit shy of your 3-inch diameter toy. I would suggest that if you want a really wide toy, like that 3-inch toy, check out some of the stuff that Bad Dragon has, and also Square Peg Toys, and also Mr. Hankey's, H-A-N-K-E-Y apostrophe S. So try those three sources for shorter toys that are really, really wide, because I think you can find something there if the general doesn't suit your needs. But that's what you're going to be looking for, is something about 6.5 inches long, or maybe even 5.5 inches long if you are both slender-bodied people, okay? If you are bigger-bodied people, one or both of you, then you're going to want something about 6.5 inches long. And that way she can just slam into you as hard as she wants to, and you're not going to be reaching that sphincter. So it will satisfy both at the same time. The depth of that toy is the problem. So there you go. That answers the question. I hope by now you are not feeling that abdominal pain. And I also hope that it does not dissuade you from doing that hard and heavy thing again. You know, I've said before, vaginas are really tough. They can squeeze babies out, but asses are a little bit more delicate. Well, yes and no. They are delicate, but at the same time, they're more delicate than a vagina, but at the same time, if you follow the rules, you'll be okay. And the rules are, you got to use plenty of lube, you can't go too big too fast, you have to do sufficient foreplay to open it up, you can't just slam a big toy in there. And as long as you follow those safety rules, no numbing lube, you know, nothing sharp, anal safe toys only, all of those things. As long as you follow those rules, many of us have seen the videos where someone is getting hammered anally. And there are people who really, really enjoy that kind of fucking. So if that's something that you love, make sure that you follow the rules, get a good toy for it, and let her go. Thank you for the letter. Okay, the last thing I'm going to do for you guys is I'm going to read you something that I wrote on my blog. I've mentioned before that sometimes I post things on my blog and you listeners aren't exposed to it because you interact with me solely through my podcast, which is totally fine. You interact with me any way you want. Well, maybe not anyway, but you get my point. Anyway, sometimes when I've written something, it's something I really want to share with everyone. So I go ahead and read what I posted on my blog on the podcast as well. And this is one of those pieces. It's called Glitter Dick. The sheer pluckiness of a glitter dick cannot be underestimated. Neither can the self-confidence boost of wearing a dangling, sparkling willy that begs to be waved about with attitude. I'm a huge fan of glitter dicks. I'm quite a fan of dicks in general, but a dick with glitter is a dick with sass. Not the annoying, bratty kind of sass. Instead, a glitter dick has a showboat kind of sass that you can't stop staring at. What is it about a twinkling tool that sends me? I love fucking your fine ass just about any way you can imagine. The different ways I fuck you offer up different treats. Sometimes I get to be close to you and wrap my body around yours as I fuck you tenderly or mercilessly. Other times, I delight in a thrilling view of your ass taking whatever I decide to give it. And when it's a glitter dick, that view becomes a RuPaul pegging scene with all the exaggerated bling in just the right place. I mean, it's like a jewel-studded butt plug times 10. I gaze at it, sliding in and out of you as I move my hips, slow, teasing. The candlelight glints off the glitter when I pull it out, offering little glimmers before I sink it back inside you. Your ass is a thing of beauty anyway. But paired with my glitter dick, I'm filled with an impulse to film the action, close up and personal like a porn shot, with shadows punctuated by sparkles when the angle is just right to catch the candlelight beside the bed. Why am I telling you all this? Because I found a glitter dick today. One that perfectly expresses my personality. One I can't wait to wave about with flourish and panache. One that I cannot wait to slide into your ass. One that will surely sparkle from the candles next to the bed. I hope you enjoyed that. That was written to someone, clearly. Someone I've been having lots and lots of fun with. And I am not going to elaborate further on that. I will leave you wondering. All right. My next webinars will be in 2019. I've scheduled two of them so far. They're both beginning webinars. Sunday, January 6th, 2019 at 10 a.m. in the morning. And Saturday, January 26th, 2019 at 10 a.m. in the morning as well. One of the things I wanted to mention is if anybody's listening who really wanted to attend one of these webinars, but I keep scheduling them at a time when you can't, please just write me and let me know what works for you. If you say, you know what, Thursday nights at 5 o'clock Pacific time really works for me, can you schedule one then? I am so down. That is how the one on the 26th got scheduled. This person mentioned that usually I schedule them on Sundays. Well, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but she has to work on Sundays, so there you go. I scheduled a special one on Saturday the 26th, and I don't only do them on weekends either. I know that there's some of you across the pond in different time zones, and I am happy to schedule one that works for your schedule, absolutely. Okay, we're done. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. You can also go to pegging101.com, where I have informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, do remember to use that coupon code Ryder for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too dumb, too diabolical, or too discriminatory. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox. Or you can always call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everyone. You rock. Happy pegging.